Okay, welcome everybody. Morning. We got a lively group this morning compared to many Sunday mornings that I've been around here. This is great. I'm not so lively myself, but I'm getting into the mood. Yes, Mr. Martinelli. No, you can't close nominations.
And what I'm curious about is, on that cruise to Ensenada next year, will we need our passport?
Yes, I believe you will. The law is such that I think a passport will be required. I'm not sure about that, but that's my understanding.
Okay. Because the people I'm going to talk with, I don't think they'll have them, so.
After January, I know that.
Yeah, that's my understanding. The beginning of 2007, you will.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's always a pleasure to. Tell the order. We're going to call the business session of the California Council of the Blind Fall 2006 Convention to order. Order. Kelly, tell them to be quiet. Okay. It's always a pleasure to have with us for our Sunday morning invocation one of our truly fine members, a great lady, Gussie Morgan.
Yay, Gussie.
Good morning, everyone. Shall we bow our heads? Father, in the name of Jesus, the great eternal wonder, holy counselor, you are our God and our Father. We thank you this morning for another day, for a right mind to be here. We praise you for this session. It was a beautiful session. We praise you for your presence being here. And we also praise you for everyone here. Lord, we ask you to bless those that are here. Many had bereavements and illness. So God, we ask that you would touch. Somebody need a special touch this morning. We pray for our president needs strength and a touch this morning. Vice president and all the staff, we ask that you put your mighty hands upon them to lead them and guide them for another 2 years. With your directions, we know everything will be all right. We bless you this morning, Lord, even their safety of returning home. These and other blessings we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you.
Amen. Okay. I'm going to... I know not all these people are probably here. I know Ed's not here, but I want to do some thank yous now as opposed to later when everybody gets a little bit frenetic and ready to get up and walk out of here and get home. Home is where the heart is and all. I want to thank a number of people without which this convention would not have run as smoothly as it has. I want to thank Kathy Skivers for doing all the brailing of all your meal tickets. I want to thank Mary Lou and Pinky for their outstanding job, as they always do, on the registration table. Things worked so smoothly this time, things seemed to go off without a ripple. I want to thank for yeoman duty, and it is glad, I am glad this hotel wasn't more spread out than it was, but nonetheless, just yeoman duty, Rick Acacian for his outstanding audio job. It was just excellent. We're just thrilled that he has been with us for a few conventions now. And I'll save my thank you to Ed because he's not yet in the room. He's still doing other staff duties right now. But I, of course, want to thank Marilyn Kohler for doing all the things that she's done throughout the convention tirelessly. She never complains, you know, no matter how much the vicissitude we put her under. And we just thank her so very much and wish her the very best in the next months to come. And we're sure that we'll have her back 100% for April. So, okay. A couple more thank yous that I do throughout the course of this. But I wanted to do one. We'll mention him in a minute, but I want to do a very special thank you to someone that we're not losing, but the board is losing. She served as secretary for a number of years. She has been an outstanding board member. There's never a task that that I would ask her to do that she wouldn't do willingly and well. And I want to say a special thank you to Artis Bazin. I always knew I could count on her when there was no one else I could get to do some thankless task. Okay, now I must admit to a slight goof here. We were supposed to have our business minutes from Rhonda. They were prepared, but due to a little bit of staff move, which was not Rhonda's fault, I have to take responsibility for it, the minutes never made it here, and so we're going to have to delay again our business meeting minutes. So next year, and next spring, we're going to have a couple of minutes. It seems like, Rhonda, you're always getting out of doing your minutes for some reason over which you have no control. So next year, we're going to have like three sets of minutes to do, and I apologize to Rhonda for that. So, yes.
Do we get any seconds?
Well, I don't know. Okay, boy, this guy is just a godsend, and we're going to have today from him his last report as treasurer, but far from his last duties dealing with the finances of this organization. Let's hear it for our outstanding treasurer for so many years, Peter Pardini.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I really appreciate your kind words. This will be a brief treasurer's report. California Council of the Blind, treasurer's report for the period January 1st, 2006 to October 15th, 2006. We had revenue for the period in the amount of $297,625. Expenses for the same period in the amount of $309,465. Other revenue for the same period in the amount of $34,424. Other expenses, which predominantly included monies we paid out for grants from the Ellen Murphy Fund in the amount of $19,850. Our revenue less expenses for other income equals the amount of $14,574. If you take all of our revenues less all of our expenses, we're left with a difference of a positive $2,734. And basically, our total assets and net assets, total assets for our organization equals $1,606,229. And this concludes my treasurer's report.
Okay. I have a motion to accept the treasurer's report. It's been moved and seconded. The treasurer's report be accepted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
And I'd like to thank you guys for all your support. And I know I'll not be treasurer anymore, but I will provide any technical assistance that I can to the new treasurer. And I'll continue my work with the council as a board member and also as co-chair of the exhibit room. And I'll do whatever other duties Jeff assigns to me. Again, thank you very much for your support.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you. You know, there's some left-wingers in this organization. I'm one of them. Roger's probably way there to the left of me. But even people like Roger and I, we have to really be thanking corporate America for helping us out this year with the stock market. So, you know.
Chairman, I have an announcement.
Okay, announcement.
I just wanted... Am I on?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to remind everybody that the CCB jackets were a big hit. It's not on?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And we have only, I believe, 7 jackets left. Is Pat LaFrance Wolf in the room?
Yes, right here.
Okay, I talked to Ed and Marilyn this morning, and if you want your jacket, if anybody wants a jacket, and if we have the right size, if you want it today before they leave going back to the office, you can get your jacket and give them your credit card number or cash or whatever. Anyway, I think there's 7 jackets left, and they will announce what the sizes are left. Thank you.
How many did you have?
We ordered 50. That's correct. We're going to get figures from Marilyn here.
We have 3.
Yeah. Well,
we have 3 size smalls, 1 medium, which those are $30. We have 1 3X, and we have 2 4Xs, and those are $35.
I think, wasn't it a 3X that I ended up with?
Yeah, they run a little bit small, so.
Just to give you an idea, I have a 3X, and it seems to fit me. So if you ladies want to you know, want to examine me to see how big I am.
We'll worry about that after the convention is over. All right. Speaking of which, we're running into the chair report of the chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, Mr. Roger Peterson.
Okay, the Constitution and Bylaws Committee met Friday at 4 during the 4 o'clock hour, and I think we like it better than the 8 o'clock Friday morning. However, it didn't have a particularly salutary effect on the attendance at the meeting. Again, I think we still need some work on the Constitution Committee, and I have a bit more in the way of concrete proposals. The people who attended the Constitution Committee, besides myself, were Jerry Consler, Mary Beth Randall, Antoine Nguyen, and Gloria Broderick. And the latter two are not members of the committee, but expressed some interest in being considered for the committee. And Jerry and Mary Beth expressed interest in being working on the committee in the future, and Jerry actually is willing to be appointed chair if the president so desires. And I think that might be a good idea. I'm willing to continue to be on the committee if the president so desires. But I think that we need to rearrange things a little bit. And there were we didn't have anything in the way of amendments, and there was no one came to the meeting to propose amendments. So that's basically my report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. That sounds good. Sounds like you guys are thinking about the future, and that's what we really need to do. Thank you. Okay. Oh, yes, we certainly do. I'm sorry. Thank you. There's a motion and a second for acceptance of the report of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. So we're now ready for what I always consider really one of the most important parts of any convention, and that is the report of the Resolutions Committee. And I want to introduce my friend, my two chairs here, my friend Gabe Griffith and my co-date Lucy Greco.
Jeff, I'm glad you didn't get those reversed.
Me too.
You know, Jeff, we're paying for you. Is that still considered a date?
Where I come from, it is.
Where you come from?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Good.
He's a big escort.
That is. I'll have some order in this room.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The problem is Jeff is so busy that to actually talk about resolutions topics, I had to pay for it. Anyways, good morning, everyone, and we've got a light roster for you this morning. Somehow it seems that when we're down here, we don't have as many resolutions, and that meant that I'm actually more awake this morning than I usually am.
We're more intelligent down here.
I don't know. It was a fairly easy year this year, and I'd like to thank my committee first, which was Mitch Pomerantz and Ken Metz and Winifred Downing. And I would like to also recognize Gene Lozano. Even though he was extremely ill, he still came in on two conference calls to make sure that some resolutions were written up the way they needed to be. So let's give him a hand.
Thank you very much.
He's not on the committee.
Thank you very much. Okay.
And then I want to thank people who participated in the procedures, which was Dan Kaiser and Tricia Leitz and Richard Ueda. And Ed and Crispy, Ed Christy Crispin. I said I wasn't as tired. I didn't say I wasn't tired. I might be. And most of all, I want to thank my co-chair, Gabe Griffith, because he.
Heavy lifting.
Because as the old nursery rhyme says, he has currently bony fingers because he worked them to the bone.
Okay, moving right along.
On that note, okay, we've got 10 resolutions this year. And let's proceed with the first resolution presented by Gene Lozano.
Okay, resolution 2006-B1 is dealing with in-service disability awareness training for state access decision makers. And as Lucy said, it's by Gene Lozano. Whereas persons who are disabled, including those who are blind or visually impaired, use mobility devices such as white canes, service animals, and other mobility aids to navigate their physical environment, and whereas the built environment is becoming more complex, challenging, and hazardous for persons who are disabled, and whereas effective detectable warnings, accessible pedestrian signals, tactile signs, curb ramps, elevators, and other accessibility improvement standards help to correct the problems experienced in the built environment, and whereas state agencies, divisions, boards, commissions, and committees, which are authorized to recommend and adopt building and traffic standards for these accessibility improvements, are generally comprised of persons who lack awareness, knowledge, and training concerning the physical challenges experienced by persons with disabilities, and whereas this lack of awareness, knowledge, and training by such governmental decision makers often result in the recommendation and or passage of inadequate accessibility standards slash regulations. Now therefore be it resolved, and I'm just going to read this first time and then pass by the remainder of these resolutions. So be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 29th day of October 2006 at the Four Points Sheraton LAX Hotel in the city of Los Angeles, that this organization strongly urge persons serving as decision makers for state agencies, boards, etc., which deal with architectural slash transportation access issues, to attend in-service disability awareness training. Such in-service training to include, but not be limited to, time spent experiencing what it is like to travel as a person with a visual, mobile, or mobility, hearing, or cognitive impairment in the built environment. And be it further resolved that should such in-service disability awareness training not take place voluntarily, this organization seek legislation mandating such training. And the committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay, you've heard the resolution. There is a second. All those in favor, any discussion? Sorry. Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The resolution is adopted. Gabe?
Okay, our second resolution was presented by the Rehab Services Committee.
Thank you. All right, and this is 2006-B2, and it deals with procurement by the state of California. All right, the title of this one is Procurement. It's 2006-B2. Procurement. Whereas the California Department of General Services has recently adopted regulations applicable to the procurement of all equipment by the state, including items purchased for clients of the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR. And whereas these regulations impose burdensome requirements upon DOR counselors making purchases for their clients, and whereas because of the relatively low cost of these purchases, it is not sensible to apply these regulations to DOR, and whereas because blind field services counselors purchase more items per client than the number bought for other clients of the department, the regulations impose an even greater burden upon BFS counselors, and whereas DOR has recognized this department-wide problem by commencing a process that will eventually lead to the employment of procurement specialists who will perform the administrative functions required by these regulations, but employment of such specialists is not expected to occur until late in 2007. And whereas it is arguable that the burden imposed upon counselors by these regulations in attempting to purchase equipment in a timely manner violates federal regulations, now therefore be it resolved that this organization call upon the Director of the Department of Rehabilitation and the Secretary of Health and Human Services in order to prevent any diminution in services to DOR clients to immediately explore methods that will ensure that counselors are not required, either in the short term or long term, to perform additional functions with respect to the purchase of equipment for clients, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the Rehabilitation Services Administration. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Second. All right, there's a motion on this and a second. Is there any discussion?
Yes, Mr. President.
There is one of the whereas clauses there that says, and I'm paraphrasing, whereas it is not sensible to apply these standards to rehab. I find it very hard to put that in as a whereas simply because whereas clauses are generally facts, not opinions. I would recommend that the whereas it is not sensible clause be struck from the resolution.
I would entertain any discussion on that point. Okay, are you making a motion or is that just your own view?
I'm making a motion, yes.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor to delete the whereas clause.
Okay. Do we have that clause?
Yes, let's reread the clause, Gabe, please.
I think there is one. We're going to read the clause first. The clause says, whereas, because of the relatively low cost of these purchases, it is not sensible to apply these regulations to DOR.
Okay, I'm going to recognize Tricia Leitz first and Lucy Greco second.
We spent a long time in discussion last night around this, and we really all agreed that we had to say something as not being logical or sensible or irrational. But if we can make it more factual, that'd be great. But I think we need to make some sort of statement about it not being sensible, logical, or rational, something to that effect.
Okay, no, hold it. Okay. Lucy is next.
We are.
Okay. If you want, actually, Lucy is next.
Talking the motion.
The reason we wanted to put that particular clause in is because we wanted to point out that this is something that's not at all reasonable for the items that rehab counselors are purchasing. The types of regulations that they're having to follow are for items that are like $100,000, you know, $50,000 for a single item. And these are items that we're buying for our clients that are maybe, I mean, at one point, one of the counselors in the room had said, it could be something you do just to buy a cane or a watch.
That's correct. It's going to
count. Yeah.
Okay, Kathy.
It's the rehab kit committee.
Okay, that's probably not going to be friendly to this. I don't know. Doug, what is your...
I could go with that, but maybe if we said, whereas we believe.
No, I don't think that weakens the resolution quite a bit. I don't think that would be viewed as...
Okay, I'll go with practical, that's fine.
Okay, so the it is a...
So whereas it is not
does
practical?
Does the chair of the committee accept that as a friendly amendment? to the resolution?
I think it's friendly.
I think it's friendly, yeah.
Okay, so we will change.
Let me just read it with that word in there. It say, whereas because of the relatively low cost of these purchases, it is not practical to apply these regulations to DOR?
Yes. Okay. I actually like that much better, Kathy. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion?
I'm happy.
Hearing none. All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. The resolution is adopted. Gabe?
The next resolution was submitted by Jeff Tom.
The next resolution was submitted by Jeff Tom.
Yeah.
And it is resolution 2006-B3, SB87. Whereas, pursuant to the enactment of SB 87 in 2001, sponsored by the California Council of the Blind, section 19630.5 of the Welfare and Institutions Code established the Blind Vendor Revolving Loan Fund, and whereas this fund was established to provide loans to blind vendors for equipment and inventory, and whereas this fund consists of approximately $100,000, parentheses $100,000, and whereas the Department of Rehabilitation has not made any loans from this fund, and whereas if this fund were to be used under the terms of existing law, only a limited number of loans would be possible, and whereas if this law were changed to permit the money in this fund to instead be used to guarantee loans made by private institutions to blind vendors, a greater number of loans and at lower interest rates could be made, thus furthering the intent behind the passage of SB 87. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization seek legislation which would amend section 19630.5 of the Welfare and Institutions Code to permit money in the Blind Vendor Revolving Loan Fund to be used to guarantee loans made to blind vendors by private financial institutions. And be it further resolved that this organization work with the Department of Rehabilitation to ensure that immediately after consideration of this legislation in the 2007-08 session, loans be made pursuant to section 19630.5 of the Welfare and Institutions Code. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Thank you very much. The motion, the resolution is adopted, and we'll go back to Lucy.
Okay, now we move on to the one presented by Jack and Dan Kaiser.
The Joint Action Committee.
That's the organization with different...
Yes, this is before.
Before what?
No, this is
before we read number five.
This is resolution 2006 B4.
It's got to be one in every crowd, and he's sitting to my left. Resolution 2006 B4, large print materials for K through 8, and then, as we said, Dan Kaiser, CCB Jack representative. Whereas, in the early 1990s, a large print textbook task force was established by special educators, publishers, parents, and consumer organizations as a voluntary means of promulgating guidelines for the production of appropriate large print materials for California's low vision students. And whereas these guidelines include standards for font size, book pagination, and size and color formatting, and whereas the Clearinghouse for Specialized Media and Technologies, CSMT, was charged with overseeing procurement of these materials, and whereas CSMT has utilized these guidelines and provided quality large print materials in a timely manner, and whereas these guidelines are well regarded nationally and have become a model used throughout the country, and whereas in March 2005, the California Department of General Services assumed responsibility for the procurement of large print textbooks, and whereas the procedure for procuring large print books for students who are visually impaired in California public schools has become so cumbersome that students are being denied their legal right to timely access to textbooks. And whereas delays caused by these procedures are of such length that students may not receive their textbooks during the school year, and whereas these procedures have caused students to receive textbooks in a format that is far less usable by them, now therefore be it resolved by the etc., that this organization seek legislation to restore responsibility for procurement of large print materials to CSMT under standards consistent with those used by that entity. And be it further resolved that, in the interim, this organization explore the possibility of seeking legal action to prevent untimely delays in the receipt of textbooks by students who are visually impaired.
The committee move do pass.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. There's discussion. Yes, Kathy?
Did I miss what CMST stands for?
It's the clearing. It's the clearinghouse, Kathy.
And we defined it in there.
It was defined with CSMT in parentheses for the
Rod
first
Brawley,
time.
You know. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of this fine resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, thank you. All right, Lucy.
Okay, the next resolution was submitted by Frank Welty, and go for it.
Okay. Resolution 2006-B5, paratransit eligibility. Whereas the unpredictable elements of fixed-route public transportation services, such as the placement and configuration of transit stops, the accessibility of paths of travel to those transit stops, the negative effects of weather and construction to the accessibility of bus stops, and the ongoing failure of transit drivers to call out stops accurately, collectively constitute an access barrier to the use of those services by blind and visually impaired people, regardless of their ability to physically board transit vehicles. And whereas many transit agencies fail to consider the complexity of these accessibility barriers when evaluating the eligibility of vision-impaired people for paratransit services, opting instead to use the most restrictive eligibility criterion allowed by law, the ability to physically board a transit vehicle, and whereas this overly restrictive measure of paratransit eligibility ensures that many vision-impaired people who cannot fully access the fixed-route transit systems will be barred from receiving the compensatory paratransit services they genuinely need, now therefore be it resolved that this organization shall propose federal and state legislation to require transit agencies to provide paratransit eligibility to all legally blind people at a level sufficient to give them the ability to travel comparable to that of non-disabled transit riders.
please.
The committee recommend do not pass.
Okay. Now, the committee recommendation will not be made in the form of a motion so that we don't have any negatives to vote for. So, I will now entertain a motion for the adoption of this resolution.
The author so moves.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Okay. Discussion.
Mr. President.
I think it would be appropriate, if possible, to let the, if you don't mind, Mitch, to let the author of the resolution speak first.
Not a problem.
I think for the most part that the wording of the resolution quite clearly states my reasoning for putting it forward. The only thing that I would add to it is that, in my opinion, this would not restrict a transit agency from using common sense in terms of, for example, allowing for limited eligibility where it is appropriate. But I would simply reiterate the bottom line here is that from experience, we all know that just because you can get your carcass into a bus does not mean you have access to the transit system comparable to other people. And therefore, it's necessary that the option of paratransit be available. Now, again, I'm not here to debate whether individuals should or should not be using paratransit. I'm not going to pass those judgments, and I don't think any of us should. In other words, I'm not here to say whether or not Mitch Pomerantz should be using paratransit. I'm here to say that we all need that option because of the nature of the beast when it comes to public transportation, as we so well know from experience.
Okay. Mr. Pomerantz?
I unfortunately must speak in very strong opposition to the resolution, and has nothing to do whether I believe that blind people should use paratransit. There are a couple of serious problems with the concept here. I don't think any of us disagree with any of the whereas clauses, but here are the problems. First, the ADA, when it was written, was drafted not based on specific disabilities. No disability under the ADA automatically entitles one to programs and services. The ADA is an equal access statute. It's not a preferential treatment statute. It is predicated on functional limitations. We know, just from our own experience in this organization, you can have two blind people, same age, same education, same ability, but their functional ability as a blind person may be very, very different based on their training, experience, when they lost their vision, a whole variety of factors. Therefore, the ADA says we don't automatically grant you this entitlement, but your functional limitation determines whether you are eligible for whatever the service might be. But beyond that, there's a bigger problem. Whether you are a Democrat or a Republican, you know that the Congress that we have today is not the same Congress we had when the ADA was passed in 1990. We run a serious risk of opening, if we suggest this legislation, if we say we need to open up the ADA, that things will be worse, not better. There were hearings in September by the House Subcommittee on the Constitution, and many of us who are in the ADA biz were very, very afraid of what might come out of those hearings. Fortunately, a lot of advocates who supported the ADA were there. It is still not clear to me whether there will be efforts made to open the ADA up next year, but I hope with all my heart that it is not. This is just not the time to take the risk of introducing legislation that will allow those people, and I believe there are a majority in the Congress now, to make the ADA, to narrow the ADA still more, not to expand it. Please do not support this resolution. The intent is laudable and understandable, but it is just not the right time, and it really does run counter to what the ADA stands for. Thank you.
Okay, wait. Well, let me recognize people who haven't spoken yet. I heard artists.
I understand totally Mitch's concerns. Is there a way we could pass this resolution and take out the federal and just use it to work with our local transit authorities here in the state, and just as a thing to the federal money is the problem.
Artists, we talked about that, and the problem with that, and those of you in LA particularly know that any service beyond what is mandated by the ADA is called premium service. That premium service is optional, and you can pass all the state legislation you want, but if the paratransit agencies don't get the funding, they don't have to provide premium service, so it would really be a Pyrrhic victory. It would just not serve the purpose that we're trying to achieve. Well, that's fine. I call that a Pyrrhic victory, though.
Okay, you go ahead, Kathy.
I think I'm thinking along the same lines as artists. And we know that in many areas in California, we do better than ADA. We're better than they were when they were formed, and we're better than they are still in many areas. I don't know why we couldn't. I don't quite understand any objection. What's this? I don't really get the objection to. Trying to do this in our state.
Premium is based on federal.
Well, let me just say this, and I'm not trying to advocate for or against this position. We could do this. It would have to be funded by the state because there's federal funds wouldn't cover it, but in part because if the state puts any requirements on local entities, the state constitution requires that they be funded. So to the extent that we did enact this, it would necessitate funding. So to say that we can't do it, certainly we can attempt to do this. You know, money has never been a reason we haven't sought legislation. But on the other hand, it would be an uphill battle because it could conceivably have a pretty high price tag. So that's sort of, you know, where you're at on this particular issue.
It'd be a state-mandated local program.
That's exactly the term.
Frank's in turn.
First off, if there is anybody that wishes to comment before I make my closing arguments, I'm certainly willing to temporarily yield. But who? Mr. President, I'm willing to yield to Charlene.
Okay, Charlene, and then I guess, Artis, you want the floor again? I think I heard.
Yeah. Okay, Charlene O'Neill, San Diego Braille Club. I think what's happening is we're looking at from the side of not qualifying and needing the services, and I understand that very much. But people need to also understand that currently in the federal government, which is what we're looking at changing legislation, they're looking at how to water down and minimize the requirements of ADA. If we open up the door to redefining what a disability is under the ADA, we're also opening up the door where they could make things more restrictive and make fewer people qualifying for the current services than they are right now.
Okay, Artis, did you want the floor again?
The question I have is, I thought there was just recently in the Transportation Act extra funds available for projects for people with disabilities. And so for some of these premium services, couldn't that be used? I know some that can be used for APSs and stuff like that. And I thought there was something in there about alternate transportation. Now, I don't know if that was new transportation systems or just additional.
Well, there are some very limited funds, and it's conceivable you could make the square holes fit into the pegs fit into the holes and all that. But they're very, very limited funds, Artis, and it certainly wouldn't be enough to cover what this would be what this would be requiring. Very limited.
Point of clarification, Mr. President.
Yes.
This resolution we've been talking now through the state instead of federal, but what this resolution is dealing with is federal only, right?
Correct. No. No.
It's state and federal.
Mr. President, can I make a comment?
Well, I have a problem. I don't understand if we pass this and we try opening ADA, would we be better off to drop the federal ones?
Are you proposing that as an amendment? To drop the federal? That is a.
Yeah, I would move that the federal be dropped on the federal.
All right. There's a motion, and there is a second. Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Amendment is defeated. Okay, Frank, you want to close? Yes? Okay.
This is Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker, and I want to just speak to what Mitch said about the other inherent problem here, which is that the ADA is not based upon disability. It's based upon functional limitation. And the way this resolution is written, it says all legally blind people, therefore a disability group. So it is not feasible, the way this resolution is written, to apply to the ADA from a functional limitation standpoint. I understand the other aspects of the arguments people are making. However, there's the two factors here. So I do not support the resolution.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Okay. Yes, Dan?
I just wanted to comment that going beyond basic service in California and state legislation, in order to use the New Freedom Initiative to use the premium services, which that's all community-based, so that has to be written into your local community transportation plan, so that wouldn't be relative to state legislation at all.
Okay. Frank, you want to close?
Yes. First off, I thank all of you for the good dialogue we've had here, especially from Mitch, being that Mitch is the ADA coordinator for the largest city in the state. I certainly very much respect your opinion, Mitch. And also, I am certainly not oblivious to the needs for very pragmatic political considerations as to the timing of any proposal that would get into the substance of the ADA. And I hope that I can respond appropriately to both. First of all, Mitch, you are quite correct that the basis for paratransit is functional ability. And I believe that we can still meet that standard with this position, because the problem is, it's not a universal problem throughout the state. For example, my paratransit agency is rather good about considering the full implications of a person's disability and granting an appropriate level of paratransit. However, we do see those paratransit agencies that simply want to say, oh, you're blind, you can get on a bus, you don't need paratransit, when, as I think I stated well in my whereas clauses, which I believe Mr. Pomerantz actually agrees with, that the functional realities out there are that for a blind person, transit access is quite complex. And that my position is therefore that it is so complex, in fact, that the specific disability of blindness, in light of the realities in the way transit agencies currently operate, make it obvious that we're not going to have full functional equality on the fixed transit system. However, that does not mean that we get some kind of a cushy extra benefit, because we still then have to be considered by paratransit agencies in terms of our individual functional abilities. For example, if you have 20/205 vision and you're able to walk around easily, you don't use a cane, you can ride a bike, all kinds of things, then no, you're not going to get access to, or at least any significant level of paratransit access, except perhaps when the weather is so horrible that you can't get around. But by the same token, this position would say that paratransit agencies do need to be more realistic in their functional considerations and not just say blind people can't use paratransit. Now, to the second portion, we certainly do need to be thoughtful of the timing of when we introduce any legislation in this organization. Now, it's true that the Congress that we currently have is not the same Congress that we had back in 1990. However, if what I'm hearing from the polls is correct, the Congress we're going to have next January is not going to be the same Congress we have now. And we certainly have, and while it's true we don't know this, nothing in my resolution says we can't pick the right time for introducing appropriate legislation. And furthermore, the rest of the disability community is looking to an ADA Restoration Act, and this might be the time for us to join in with them with our own agenda already known, so that we get more of what we want this time around, as the disability community is going back to Congress. And this would be one element of what we need, is a more flexible paratransit eligibility criteria that reflects the reality of our needs. Again, okay. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you. I'm going to recognize the resolution's chair for what I hope was the last comment, because we do need to. This is a great dialogue, but
what I'm hearing is that we're having issue with the fact that maybe the timing isn't right in legislation.
would maybe hurt us more than anything. I'm wondering if we should withdraw this for now, come back in the spring with something that talks about educating the transit agencies to the limitations, taking it from the bottom instead of from the top and legislating and mandating it, and doing this as an educational type of resolution instead. And that's a friendly amendment.
That's not an amendment. Is this a move to table?
Yeah.
Okay, the move to table is a non-debatable resolution. All those in favor of the motion to table say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. No, you can't debate it.
It's
yes, you may.
That the motion to table means that the motion is placed on the side and it must be formally moved to take it off the table. As far as I know, that what we would not be able to suggest any amendments until after the motion is pulled off the table, which means the resolutions committee does not amend that motion until after we.
You know, Frank, that's technically the case, but I don't think, realistically, we don't want to put any, provide any impediments to what anybody may seek to do. I would just, you know, I think it's clear that the sentiment is to, you know, delay the vote on this to spring. I think that all the parties should work out what they want. If you want to come back with this same resolution, you're...
That's pretty much what I was meaning to do, Frank. I mean,
Let's have a motion to rescind the vote.
Okay.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded that we rescind the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Okay, Lucy.
Okay. What I am recommending, Frank. Yeah. What I'm doing is I move to refer back to committee.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to refer back to committee. Is there any discussion?
I'd like to make a recommendation, suggestion.
Yes.
No. You'll like this. Frank, this is an important issue, and I would hope that when we sit down to do this in April, you'll be with us so that we can hammer out some language we can all agree with.
Okay. Hearing no more discussion, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay. Thank you very much. And this is definitely an important issue. There is no question about it. Thank you, Frank, and everyone for your input. Okay. Lucy, next resolution.
Moving on to the next resolution is also submitted by Frank Welty, and it is B6?
Six.
Yeah, B6.
Okay, resolution 2006 B6, definition of legal blindness. Or in regards to.
Order.
Whereas the United States has engineered itself around the use of the private automobile, and whereas automobile driving has thus become a major activity of daily living in this country, and whereas the inability to drive is a loss of a major activity of daily living, and hence a disability as defined by the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization shall propose federal and state legislation to expand the legal definition of blindness to include anybody who is unable to obtain a driver's license on account of poor vision. And be it further resolved that this organization shall seek modifications to the ADA regulations so that the inability to drive shall explicitly constitute a protected disability under ADA, and that this class of disabled persons shall not include those who are capable of driving, but whose driving privileges have been withheld for other reasons. And the committee recommends a do not pass.
Okay. There is a do not pass recommendation, so there's a need for a motion.
Can we ask where this resolution?
This one was also from Mr. Welty.
Okay. Do we have a motion? Okay, there's a motion and a second. Discussion.
Mr. President.
Do we have to adopt the resolution? That's the only way we're working with this. Yeah, can we let the author go first?
Come forward, Mr. Welty. Let's continue this discussion together.
There's nothing worse than a Republican and a former Republican.
Make that two former Republicans.
Hey, I got my in my pocket. My daughter from went to Washington D.C. this summer and gave me a Smush Bush stress reduction doll, and it's got a little brain on it. And when you squeeze it, the brain will pop out. It says "No Brainer" on it.
I want this.
All
partisanship aside, I know that there will be questions again about the issue of timing and opening up the ADA, and I've already addressed that, except to add that this resolution specifically speaks to regulations, not the language of the law itself. And we already live in a climate where ADA regulations do get updated as a matter of course anyway. Consider all of the resolutions we've had over the years about from Mr. Lozano about accessible pedestrian signals and signage and whatnot. Now, as there are others who say, well, why should we change the definition of legal blindness? It's served us so well for so long. It's very quantifiable. And won't we possibly bar people that are already considered legally blind if, for example, myopic drivers that are legally blind, if we now say that if driving is this cutoff point? Well, let me be very clear that this proposed criteria is in addition to the existing criteria. Therefore, everyone who is already regarded by the Social Security Administration as legally blind will still be legally blind. Nothing is lost. However, as I said, I think clearly in the resolution, and I don't think anybody will dispute this, this really is a car country. And if you can't drive a car, you take a big hit. Simple as that. And I think that, therefore, since that's just a fact, that I think it's appropriate for us to get that explicit fact stated in the appropriate places in ADA regulations. It's as simple as that. Again, if you're worried about the political timing, I'm not worried about when this is done, just that it needs to be a matter of our policy.
Okay. Mitch?
Well, I think that, well, with the exception of work, what the definition of a major life activity are things such as breathing, speaking, seeing, hearing. Work is considered a major life activity, but only as a last resort. Therefore, the notion is that a major life activity is something you do physically, as a matter of course, in your daily life. In 30 some odd states in this country, persons who are legally blind do drive. This resolution would thoroughly muddy the waters, because you would have legally blind people who are able to drive, and then you would have legally blind people who are not able to drive, who would automatically be classified as having a functional limitation. I think this would cause significant confusion. I'm as uncomfortable, or nearly as uncomfortable, opening up the regulations as I am opening up the ADA to further redefinition. I actually think that the listing of major life activities, Frank, is not part of the regulations, but part of the ADA itself, and therefore the same argument I used previously obtains now. I think it's well-intentioned, but to open up major life activities, be it as part of the regulation or in the ADA itself, creates a precedent, and who knows what the next group will want as a major life activity. I think we need to be very careful here, and as much as I'd love to agree with this resolution, I cannot, and I recommend that we do not pass this.
Okay, any further discussion?
Yes.
Kathy, and then there's somebody else.
Charlene.
I don't worry about the regulations in this. I'm not concerned with that. I am concerned with other factors that would come in. If you open this like this, you're going to have the argument about who's legally blind, except what kind of thing, and who's legally blind to get another. I'm sorry, I know it's going to upset some people, but I tell you what, legally blind people, in my mind, do not drive. If you're legally blind, and you meet the criteria for that, I don't
want to
ride with you.
Okay, well, that's fine. All right, Charlene?
Yes, Charlene Ornelas, San Diego Braille Club. My concern is once you open this up, it's going to end up indicating that, and at least in my understanding, the people now could apply for Social Security SSI as being visually impaired, which is also a classification as it is now. But 20 over 80 allows you to not drive. That's pretty high vision. I really don't want all those people competing with me and trying to get my funding. I have a low enough funds as it is. I can see Social Security SSI going down because there's more people to take it.
Okay, any other discussion?
Yes.
Any other discussion?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Gentlemen, set the mic.
Excuse me, Robert Went from Greater Long Beach.
Okay.
One additional argument that we're failing to miss here is the courts. And given who's been placed on the courts recently, I think we really need to think about this, because we put this out there for legal definition, you're going to have open up more than a big can of worms. Thank you.
Okay, now what I'd like to ask is, since we've heard several speakers against, if I'd like to entertain only... Do we have, unless it's absolutely urgent, I really want a speaker in favor, because we've had several against already. Okay. No one else? Do you have a very brief comment? The speaker that was just up here? Left? Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
State your name.
This is Barbara Cron, and I just wanted to make a statement. That just because you are having difficulty passing your eye test for a driver's license in no way makes you legally blind. My husband is having great difficulty trying to pass his driver's test. His bad eye is 20/400. His right eye is 20/40. He can see a gnat on a dog's back, but he cannot pass the test due to lighting and that sort of thing. But he is no way near legally blind and should not be classified as so.
Okay, thank you. Hearing no further discussion. Frank, did you say?
You know.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
Okay, thank you. The resolution is not adopted, and we'll go on to Lucy.
Okay, the next resolution was from the Rehabilitation Services Committee, and the Resolutions Committee passed that back to the committee for further research and work.
And that was resolution B7.
B7,
correct.
And it dealt with OCB vocational training.
And did the committee, did the Rehabilitation Services Committee agree?
Yes.
With that? Okay.
Yes. We made several suggestions and recommendations for things they could do.
Okay.
Yeah, and Christy were in there, I believe they agreed to it. It was Resolution 2006-B7, OCB Vocational Training.
All right.
Okay, and then our next resolution was presented by Mitch Pomerantz. And who else was with you on that, Mitch?
Donna
Pomerantz. And Ken Metz. With no further ado, Gabe.
Especially the first and the last.
Now that we know Roger's opinion on it. Resolution 2006-B8 deals with the MTA. Whereas in 2005, the Los Angeles County Metropolitan Transportation Agency, MTA, there, I don't have to say it again, began installing automatic vehicle annunciators, AVAs, on its fleet. And whereas these devices call all stops on the fixed route system, thereby allowing blind and visually impaired riders total independence equal to that enjoyed by sighted passengers. And whereas members of the California Council of the Blind have learned that MTA Chief Executive Officer Roger Schnobel has taken steps to limit the calling of all stops to only those mandated under the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, major transfer points, and points of interest. And whereas this backward step would reduce the level of independence and once again require blind and visually impaired riders to rely on bus operators who are typically inconsistent in verbally announcing requested stops, now therefore be it resolved that this organization send a strong letter to Roger Schnobel indicating its unequivocal opposition to any proposal to reduce the number of stops announced by AVAs. And be it further resolved that a copy of this letter be sent to each member of the MTA Board of Directors and the members of the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay. There's a motion and a second. Any okay, there's a...
Information. If it's a strong letter, shouldn't it do something other than indicate?
Yeah, I think the wording is right. Believe me, if I write the letter, it'll be strong.
And if Mitch writes it, it'll be even stronger.
Mr. President,
yes.
You and I will flip a coin because I'd love to write that letter.
That's fine. You can write it, too. I have no problem with delegating that responsibility.
There's nothing stopping you from writing one independently either, Mitch.
I'm rejecting the word indicate. It's not strong enough to support the previous law.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
Yeah, we've thought of that. Well, Doug, would you want what do you have a suggestion for a stronger word other than indicating?
Well, can we read the clause, Gabe, please? Resolve clause.
Be it resolved that this organization send a strong letter to Roger Snoble indicating its unequivocal opposition.
Expressing.
That's very friendly.
Expressing.
Thank you.
All right. Are those the enunciators that also say thank you for writing MTA?
No, they don't do that.
Ours do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They say thank you for watching our infomercial.
Order.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Question. Okay.
My question is simply, why is this being handled here at the state level rather than locally?
Okay, the question was why this is being handled at the state level rather than just at the local level.
Would you like me to respond, Jeff? Or do you want
No.
The thing that's so great about this organization is that the problems that we're having in one part of the state are important to the rest of us. And there is strength in numbers. We have, in fact, supported such resolutions dealing with transit agencies and education institutions in other parts of the state that don't affect us directly. But I think most of us here are of the mind that your problems in Humboldt or Santa Clara are our problems in L.A. and San Diego. That's why we're addressing it here. We want this in our entire organization behind our efforts to keep the stop enunciators the way they currently are.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. All right, the resolution is adopted. Back to Lucy.
All right, our second to last resolution deals with the usual stuff.
Okay.
I can't remember which one's first.
Yeah, we are on to the last two resolutions. Resolution 2006-B9 is volunteer appreciation. Be resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 29th day of October 2006 at the Four Points Sheraton LAX Hotel in the city of Los Angeles that this organization express its deepest gratitude and sincerest thanks to those who have made this convention possible.
And the names will be amended to the resolution once we have a clear list.
Okay.
The committee recommend a due pass, and I so move.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor of this great resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. All right, thank you very much. Actually, I want to recognize a couple people in this regard. I want to recognize Ken and Pam Metz for working to get a lot of the volunteers. Appreciate that immensely. And Marilyn for working with them, and Jean as well. Jean Lozano also helped in the volunteer effort. So thanks to all of you. And we certainly always, you know, we get out certificates now to our volunteers. It's one of our priorities that we do shortly after a convention. So we really recognize people that participate. Before I go on to the last resolution, I want to recognize two people that weren't here at the beginning. Avi, great job with getting that auctioneer last night. Wasn't that special?
Yeah.
Yes, we'll have to do another one. We will publish the amounts in the Blind Californian that we raised through our auction, through our sweepstakes. Oh, Peter's got some amounts right here for us. How about that?
For the auction, we raised $1,015.
And the sweepstakes was the biggest ever by all reports. Maryland kept having to find bigger boxes to put the tickets in. So the chapters did well. The state did well. And it was just it was a great time. I'd also like to recognize, because he wasn't here earlier when I went through other recognition, the absolutely, and he does it all the time, but it just every year it never ceases to amaze me, the energy and the work that Ed Branch has done throughout this whole convention. We are lucky to have a great staff. There is no question. Okay, last resolution.
Dave.
Yeah, yeah. This is number 10. Resolution 2006-B10 is the hotel appreciation. Be resolved that this organization appreciates the services that were provided during its fall 2006 convention by the staff of the Four Points Sheraton LAX Hotel, and be it further resolved that the president of this organization forward this resolution to the hotel management. And the committee has no recommendation because we, due to
people
neglect on my part probably as much as anything else, forgot to read this in the to the committee.
There's a motion and a second for the adoption of the resolution. All those in discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. And the motion is carried. Thank you very much.
Woo-hoo.
You know, we're going to be back here next year. The hotel staff has really worked incredibly hard to try and meet our needs. Feel free. I know they want they want to hear from us in terms of things that they can do better. So let me know and Gene Lozano know, and we'll work to make next year even better than this year. But they've really knocked themselves out. The management has really worked. The food's great, I think. How you guys think so? So we'll even do better next year. As if Charlie Hodge were in the room, because he would make me do this if he weren't, we need a motion to accept the report of the Resolutions Committee. There's a motion, a second. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. And the resolution's report is adopted. Thank you, Lucy and Gay, very, very much.
Okay, I just want to say one.
Okay, Lucy, go ahead.
This was a good resolution year, but I think we can do better. I've heard several people, and maybe they were just teasing me and trying to put the anxiety level up, tell me in the first 2 days, oh, yeah, I'm bringing another resolution. I didn't see them. Come on, people, let's get those resolutions to the Resolutions Committee. Get them to us early. We all look at our email. We all try and review. We've got good concept. We sit down in that resolution meeting the first night, and we can get the work done. Get your resolutions in.
Email them before,
call me up on the phone, talk to me. You don't even have to write it. Just conceptualize, and we will do the work. But we want your ideas. We want your concepts. I can't just see you in a hallway and hear you say, oh, I want to write a resolution on if dogs have 4 or 5 feet.
How about, I'm going to bring mine up next year on Uzis and blind people. So
yeah,
we'll go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if the topic is one that we are going to pass or not pass. Bring me the resolutions. Let the organization hear what you want to say. And again, thank you to all my committee members. Thank you to my co-chair, Gabe. Have a good one, everybody. Safe trip home.
Thank you very much, Resolutions Committee, and Lucy and Gabe. All right. Okay. Our next presenter, I give him so much grief every day because he always calls me and I'm swamped with work and I cut him short and he's always hanging in there doing his best, and he does a tremendous amount of work for this organization. Even during the non-busy times, he's working to find more projects to undertake, and during the busy times he can barely keep himself treading water. But this gentleman really works for your and my benefit every day of the week. I want to present to you our Governmental Affairs Director, Dan Kaiser.
Thank you, Jeff. Hello, everybody. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, very good. I'm going to adjust this.
Yeah, that's true. What I'm going to talk about today is CCB looking forward. We're just concluding a legislative two-year session, and this last 2 years has been really interesting as to some of the issues that have, a lot of new issues have confronted us this year, and of course a lot of the same old issues. So I'm going to go down and talk basically and just make comments. My comments are not my own personal opinion. They are based on trends, either by talking with legislative aides, by working within the disability community to find out what trends are, and within this organization's own desires and goals. So I'm going to go through everything, and hopefully by the end of my presentation, you'll have a pretty good idea what to expect for the next 2 or 3 years. I will tell everybody there'll be a period in the next couple of weeks that you will not be able to get hold of me, because I am moving about 3 blocks from the state capitol. My office will have to be torn down. I will try to forward my work phone to my cell phone, and as I'm carrying furniture out the door, hopefully I can grab a hand and answer the cell phone. So without any further ado, I'll get on with it. We passed legislation a couple of years ago that dealt with accessible cell phones, and I'm pleased to tell you that we did not need legislation for that, and we have sort of began a firestorm within the disability community about wireless communication and the California Telephone Access Program. And that momentum is huge. And the deaf community, they want their video telephone relay, and they want their Blackberries, and we want our accessible cell phones. And I'm pleased to say that the equipment list, subcommittee is working on that, and we are probably this year going to be recommending a service. The problem that we are confronting is that there is no such thing as universal lifeline service within the cell phone industry. And so we are trying to unbundle the service to where we may have a special universal lifeline service for people with disabilities in California. Won't that be great? A flat fee for your cellular phone. Plus, you'll be able to go to the California Telephone Access Program and get a cellular phone, an accessible cellular phone. So we're still looking at that, and we'll report back to you. Another trend that's occurring that's kind of alarming is the alignment of emotional support animals to service animals, giving them the same access rights. We need to stop this movement as we did last year. We defeated a proposed bill, and that was quashed by CCB. But it's coming back, so watch for that. There's also a government trend now in government agencies self-certifying for ADA accessibility. Before, the lead agency is always the division of the state architect access compliance unit. We were successful last year in getting this California State University dropped. That language was taken out at my request. However, we were not successful with the Caltrans being able to self-certify all their projects, except that I was able to get the rail division removed. But continue to look for this trend in the next couple of years. Quiet cars is a big issue on the national level and the state level. And Jeff and I and Gene and others are talking about ways in which California can go forward. One of the interesting things that I discovered in talking to the head of the Alternative Fuel Vehicles Division within the California Commission Energy Commission was that it's not just alternative fuel vehicles that are quiet. All cars, new cars nowadays, are quiet. And in fact, some of the alternative fuel vehicles are a little noisier than the quiet cars. So we definitely need to get a handle on this issue for pedestrian safety for blind and visually impaired people. Another trend with the Schwarzenegger administration, anyway, is that he's vetoing a lot of IHSS improvement bills. We need to watch this, and we need to, because one of the things that we're pushing for is the IHSS adding reader services to the in-home support services program, because they've refused to recognize blindness ever, and it's about time they start recognizing us. Of course, you heard the issue about K-8 textbooks being accessible. I appreciate you passing that resolution. That gives us the tools now to go forward with getting textbooks to low-vision children. BEP Roadside Rests and the BEP program, the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind, they want the big business wants to get rid of the Roadside Rest program for the blind so they could put McDonald's restaurants in there. We need to fight this. It's going to be, as many people like artists know, it's a trend in the federal government that they're trying to do that on federal highways, and now they're working on California. So we'll be watching this again. As well as, it looks like the blind vendors may have worked out the issue with the nutritious food product in state vending machines, and hopefully they're going to work that out. They believe that the department and the author and the vendors are on a good track to resolving that issue. There's also a trend California veterans' homes is a big issue. Our veterans who are blind in California are not getting the same access as their sighted counterparts in the California veterans' home. I'd like to thank, in particular, Margie Donovan. I don't know if she's here, but I really want to recognize her for her leadership in that area. And we will be working after elections with the legislators in the Yountville area and legislators who are on the veterans committee, veterans' homes committee. Getting consumers on policy boards of agencies serving the blind, we suffered a horrible defeat after SB 105, where we organized and we had all of the agencies serving the blind behind us, and we really felt that they were going to stand with us. And lo and behold, about six agencies serving the blind came out in opposition to SB 1114. We need to work with the R agencies. You need to convince your local agencies serving the blind that it is in the best interest of the blind in your community that they have blind people on their policy boards. And we are not going to give up until we get decent representation on these boards. I want to talk about voting and elections, and CCB has taken the leadership in suing the Secretary of State and the various counties, Alameda County, and some members are suing their counties, including myself, Yolo County, for not being able to vote accessibly. This is excellent, and we're going to be having a meeting soon on this issue, and we will update everybody on that. Voting accessibility, there are going to be some changes. It has been told to me that once California gets 50% absentee voting, that California will be going all mail voting by the state legislature. But I don't think anybody in the leadership position, such as Deborah Bowen, wants to eliminate accessible voting. But I think you're going to look towards a trend towards voting centers and a two-week early voting period up to the election time. So I think that is a strong push by the entire legislature, and I would look for ways to keep accessible voting. And it is somewhat of a fiasco. I know Yolo County, when they looked at all their voting machines, they were only speaking in Japanese and they couldn't change the language. So, it's frustrating for us as blind people. We work hard to get accessible voting and then the voting machines aren't up to par. But we have to keep plugging in and we can't give up on that issue. I want to mention, if you have any voting problems, please call the Department of Justice and report your problems. I'm going to read the number, and please get ready to take this number down. I'll read it twice. Yeah, please report it to ARTIS because CCB is in the forefront of the California effort. So the Department of Justice number is 800-253-3931. 800-253-3931. And I think I have their website somewhere here. Ah, there it is. www.usdoj.gov/CRT/voting. www.usdoj.gov/CRT/voting. And I hope all of you vote. Remember, there's very big issues at stake. I know everybody wants to have a reader bill and vote your own conscience, but get out and vote. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Do we have time for a couple questions for Dan? Okay, Kathy.
The answer is no, Kathy.
The boss has a question. You better have the right answer.
She's not my boss anymore. Oh, she's on the board. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Go ahead, Dan.
Wrong answer.
Oh, wrong answer. I don't hear my mic. Yes, boss.
There you go.
The question I have, I think
as to what maybe you could tell us about the thought that they want to lump all the things into a large umbrella agency?
Yeah, that, oh, there's two issues. Yeah, that is one of them. The large umbrella agency is going to be a care, it's an older person's care services agency, I believe. I don't have the name right, but I've been to several meetings of that proposal, and rehabilitation, the only rehabilitation services that are being moved into this super agency is the independent living program, and we know that for a fact. The only, well, let me finish. The only thing I don't know is where the Chapter 7 Title II senior money is going to go. And believe me, I'm turning over every rock to find out. We do not want that money in the independent living movement. Yes, sir.
Okay, wait a minute. Somebody else is here already, Mitch, before you.
Artist.
Okay, I wanted to go back to the accessible voting. I don't know how many people are aware of it, but in the past it hasn't been clear whether you could use a stamp when you as your signature. We were able to convince them to allow anyone to use a stamp when either filling out your voter registration or when you go to vote at the polls. And if they say you can't do it, tell them that it has been approved, and the local registrars receive notification that they have to allow you to do this. And if you're with someone, just have them sign it, put their name by it saying that this is your signature, to make sure that you can do it, because they should allow it.
Okay, in that department was in the super agency. The proposed name is the Department of Home and Community-Based Services. So you'll be hearing that. The other thing that's happening is Olmsted is has been changed to include a lot of Medi-Cal services and a lot of services that will affect long-term care. And I've gone to some of these meetings. I'm participating in a lot of these meetings. And this is really based on people who have been in nursing homes for 6 months and then come out. And I'm concerned right now with the fact that they talk about caseworkers, but there's nothing mentioned about blind or visually impaired caseworkers. And so my push is to make sure that the disabilities are defined just like they are when you go into rehab. They should be defined, because I don't want to see someone languishing after 6 months because nobody knows how to deal with blindness. So this is known as the person follows the money. And I follow the money. They follow the people. Okay. Yeah, okay. Right. So you're right. And so we're watching this very closely. And I guess that's my report, Mr. President.
Dan?
Yes.
Okay, Mitch.
Just a quick comment. I think it's wonderfully ironic that at the same time that Caltrans has become exempt from reviews by the state architect, 3 blocks of my office, the person in Maine, they have constructed an inaccessible building.
Well, that's like the Division of the State Architect headquarters is semi inaccessible. So,
great. Have a long way to go there, folks. All right. Yes, Kathy.
I need to know if you need anything further from me, because it seems that every time I come to a convention of late, I have combat over transportation, getting to and from conventions. And believe me, if I have experience getting out of here like I did coming in here,
unless you would like to give a committee report, Kathy, we need nothing. It's time for committee reports, actually. So if you would like to give a committee report, you can. Otherwise, you can step on out. Absolutely. We're going to, I don't know if the mic, see, the wireless mic's not working. That's the problem. I'll repeat it.
All we need is for people who have history information. If you have old documents relating to history or old recordings relating to the history of CTV, please call me at 510-357-1986 or at the office.
Okay, if you have any information for the history, please call Kathy at 510-357-1986, or you can always contact the office. There you go. Thank you very, very much, Kathy. Okay. Do we have any committee chairs that would like to present any reports? Okay, Bernice is first. Pat is second, and I may have heard Barbara, I'm not sure. But Rhonda. So it's Bernice.
I'm here.
And then Pat, and then Rhonda. Okay, and Jane is this.
This is not exactly a report, but our editor was at the president's dinner and did not have the opportunity to speak. He wanted to ask people to, you know, we want to promote communications among within our organization, and one of the ways of doing that is by putting an article from your chapter about what your chapter is doing in the Blind Californian in the column called Around the State. So we want to encourage people to participate in trying to resurrect that column in the Blind Californian. And secondly, there are, it's hard to, shh.
Have some order.
Secondly, there are an awful lot of, there's a big need for people to submit original articles to the Blind Californian. We don't have a lot of articles to choose from for the awards, and the editor is gleaning more and more articles off the internet, and that's not what our publication is about. So please contribute articles. If you need assistance with trying to write an article, feel free to contact the publications committee and we will help you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay, thank you. I'm chair of the rehab committee for the last time, and I wanted to thank all my committee members. We put on another, in conjunction with the technology committee, we put on another very successful program concerning GPS systems, and Louie got a speaker from Microsoft to talk about their new Vista program, and I hope we get some feet. We always have a pretty good crowd at these, and I hope you continue to keep coming, and we'll support your new chair whenever he or she takes over.
Thank you, Pat. I'd just like to make a comment. You know, and it isn't just Pat, it's Perry as well. Pat is truly one of the incredible people we have in this organization, and let's give her... She works tirelessly. She just endures and gives everything she's got for blind people throughout this state and the country. And it is sincere. And Perry is with her every step of the way. So again, let's hear it for both of them.
Thank you. I also wanted to remind of you who are diabetic out there, there is a Diabetics in Action group with the American Council of the Blind. And if any of you are interested in knowing more about that, get my number from the CCB office so you can call and I can tell you how to join. And they have a listserv also.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right.
Okay, I'm still here.
Okay, I think Rhonda's next.
Oh. I didn't know.
But you're up, so go ahead, Jane, because you'll be quick.
I've had several people ask about the Advocacy Committee, and in particular, the members on the committee, and why we haven't had more action and why we aren't handling more cases. So I just wanted to bring it to the membership that we help with legal matters. If somebody feels they've been discriminated against, or it might be a job situation, it could be just about anything. It might be a child custody case or visitation. Whatever, please get in touch with our committee if you feel you're... I had somebody talk to me at the student mixer. I think it's very important for you to know that we are here and we are here to serve you. And if you need any help, please call the CCB office. Thanks.
Absolutely. That committee, you know, works and meets on any complaints that we get that are... That should be going to that committee, and they are very diligent in their efforts to make sure that we do provide the help that we can. So thank you, Jane. Okay, Rhonda, did you want?
Yes, I wanted to ask if Frank Welty was still in the room. Okay, well, I just wanted to report that the membership committee met yesterday afternoon, and we had a very, very good meeting. Quite a few attended, and a lot of good ideas came out of that. But we are not able to do the membership incentive award this convention. For, you know, for the chapter who had the greatest increase in membership between the spring and fall right now, because we did not get the numbers from the credentials committee. So that announcement will probably have to be made through the Blind Californian, and Artis and I will be putting together an article that will go into the Blind Californian. But I appreciate everybody that's taken part on the committee this year. And Artis and I are looking into revamping the committee next year. And anyway, just look for some good things coming out of membership next year and some really good ideas. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Rhonda and Artis. Thank you. There are some pretty good chapters. I know Active Blind Inland Valley made a big jump this year, just to name one. So there were some pretty good numbers. I want to thank all of you. Okay. I don't think he is in the room, but he can get it on the tape anyway. I want to say a special thank you to our guest from the ACB board, ACB president of Maryland, Pat Sheehan, for coming this week. Oh, you are here. You want to come up and you snuck in. You want to give us a few words?
Thanks. Hello. Is this on?
You're on.
Okay. I'd like to say thanks to everyone here that made me feel very welcome. You guys put on a terrific convention. I've learned a lot. It's great to meet everybody, and thanks for making me welcome.
We are thrilled. It was great. Yeah. Mitch knew wherever he spoke when he said, let's get Pat Sheehan here, and he was absolutely right. By the way, we had over 200 registrations this time. And of course, for those of you that may not know, we only require people to register if they buy a meal, so we always have lots and lots of people who do not actually register. So it's very likely that we had over 300 people at some point in time at this convention. So give yourselves a hand. All right, do we have any last announcements? No, I hear none. There is a motion to adjourn. All those in favor of adjourning the fall 2006 Convention of the California Council of Wine, say aye. All those opposed, thank you very much. We are adjourned. Till the spring. See you in Sacramento.